Let me quickly say that I certainly am appreciative of being the teammate of Scott and Russ this week, and the effective way that our singing has been led. Singing those songs that are certainly appropriate and applicable to our series of studies on this week. We certainly want to express appreciation as well to each and every member here, to the shepherds that pastor the flock of God here, those men that have feet that are swift to service. We commonly refer to them as deacons. And each and every member, thank you so very, very much. You certainly have been encouraging in all of the things that are being said about our study and our thinking together. We certainly appreciate the preacher of the congregation as well. And as he has stated, and I'll state again, I appreciate all of the correspondence. It certainly is encouraging. There are those that sit here in the audience, and we do not take your presence for granted. Elders and preachers from length and breadth across this state of Kentucky, we appreciate your presence. And those that are visiting here that are not a member of the Church of Christ, we are doubly honored that you have come to study with us. Now on tonight, I want to call your attention to an Old Testament passage that perhaps might be familiar with you. I want you to take your Kentucky Bibles, and I want you to turn to Psalm 23, the 23rd division of the book of Psalms. As I said before, so say I also again, that this Psalms has been used in our lives more than any other piece of literature known to man. I can remember when I was in Head Start, my first assignment, that was back then, not now, was to memorize the 23rd division of the book of Psalms. When I got in high school, our literature books that we used, you can find, not in today's society, but you can find this 23rd division of the book of Psalms. When you attend funerals, more often than not, one of the narratives that you're going to hear are these six verses in 118 words. I'm telling you, friend, this Psalms has been taught to little children that can understand it, but it also have baffled scholars. It has been read in kindergartens, but it's been read on the battlefields as well. This 23rd division of the book of Psalms is shallow enough for a little one to wade in. But I want to tell you something, neighbor. It's deep enough for an elephant to swim in. This 23rd division of the book of Psalms. And as I said before, and I'll say it again, if you and I do not make heaven our eternal home, it's nobody's fault but our own. This Psalms address every phase of our entire lives. We started off talking about the secret to a life of satisfaction. A satisfaction for our thirsty soul. And there's a place in all of our lives that no one can occupy, and no one or no thing can satisfy but Almighty God. No husband, no wife, no children, no grandchildren, no girlfriend, no boyfriend, or any other kind of friend but Almighty God. That's why he says, David says, the Lord, that tetragrammaton, the Lord, that's Yahweh, is my shepherd. And when the Lord becomes your shepherd, he, and only he, has all that you need. You cease to want. You got God out in front of you, leading you. Then you have his goodness and his mercy behind you. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives. And after this life, you can go on and live with God eternally. He addresses our eternal needs. And right what we saw on last night, his rod staff is on the side of us. So when we look at this 23rd division of the book of Psalms, it addresses everything that we need. The needs, not our wants. Now, he'll give you what you need, and he'll throw in a whole lot of what you want when you're faithful to him. So he supplies all of our needs in verse number 1. Then he supplies our social needs because he makes us lie down in pastures that are green, and he leads us beside waters that are still. He supplies our spiritual needs as well. And I'll broaden that just for a little bit on tonight in our invitation. He supplies our spiritual needs because he restores my soul. And then he supplies my directional needs because he leads me in paths that are right. Then the Lord supplies my emotional needs because even though or yea though I got to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. And he supplies my eternal needs, as we've made reference to. But on tonight, I want to show you the omnibenevolent. We often talk about God's omniscience. We often talk about God's omnipresence. We often talk about God, how he is everywhere and is all-knowing and is all-powerful. However many times do we discuss his omnibenevolence? That's what this verse shows us on tonight. Now in Psalms 23 and verse number 5, we have 47 words to go. Tonight I want to look at 22 of those 47. And if God be willing, we'll look at the last 25 on tomorrow night. We covered 41 words on Sunday. But I want you to listen to these 22 words that's under investigation on tonight. Notice what the passage says in Psalms 23. And the verse there is number 5. Thou prepareth. You might want to underscore that, because we're going to stay there for a long time. Thou prepareth a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Now let's look again at the first 12 words. Thou prepareth a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Stop right there. You don't need to concentrate on anything else for right now. Now I want you to look at the first 2 words. Thou prepareth. Brothers and sisters, friends and neighbors. After coming or going through the valley of the shadow of death. Here we have a description of shepherd and sheep. And because of that Judean sun, 120 degrees plus, there was only a certain time that grass was there before it burned up for livestock. In order to get to better grazing ground, the shepherd will have to lead his sheep through the valley of the shadow of death. Along this journey, sheep will become hungry. Once they come out of the valley of the shadow of death, sheep now are ready to graze. But coming through this shadow of death, the sheep still have to depend on the shepherd. Because there are many dangers that will threaten the life of the sheep. Notice the first 2 words again. Thou prepare it. Now actually what David is doing, he is taking the script out of his own life. But he is looking at himself as sheep and looking at God as shepherd. And when David says thou, he is speaking of the chief shepherd. Thou prepare it. David knew that it was the responsibility of God, because God had obligated himself, just like he's obligated himself to us, to take care of us. David says, thou prepare it. It was the responsibility of the shepherd to make sure that the sheep ate healthy. When the shepherd would lead his sheep to new grazing ground, that shepherd would make those sheep stay right there at the edge. And what the shepherd would do, he would go down through that grazing ground, and he would make sure that there was no enemies in there that would threaten the life of the sheep. That's exactly what God expects shepherds to do today. Isn't that right? Oh, yes, it is. And Acts 20 and verse 28. Take heed unto yourselves. I want to tell you something, neighbor. That's present active imperative. Second person plural. What does it mean? That's not a one-time act. You continue to take heed first for your life, for your doctrine. Today, tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, 50 years from now, don't stop taking heed. That's what that passage says. Here when we look at Acts 20, the Apostle Paul had called the elders from the Church of Christ that were located in the city of Ephesus. Called them out on the marble island of Miletus. Gave them a charge. You take heed unto yourself and to all of the flock of God. Listen to it. Over which the Holy Spirit has made you bishops to pastor the church of God, which is purchased with his own blood. Therefore, it is responsible, the responsibility of a good shepherd to make sure, and I'll just read it to you in the King James Version, that they should feed or tend. So therefore, we have to make sure that the sheep have a healthy diet. Because there's all kinds of enemies of sheep. In Matthew 7 and verse 15, beware of false prophets. You're not going to be able to tell him by how he's dressed. He may come to you in the clothing of a sheep, but he may be a wolf. How are you going to tell him? Not by what he drives, but what is produced in his life. Verse 20 says, by their fruit. Not how he look, not what he drives, not how eloquent he is, but what is produced in his life. You should know them. The first 12 words shows us that these Palestinian pastors, there were a number of poisonous weeds that could make the sheep either sick or either kill them. And the sheep could not discern poisonous plants from good plants. What the sheep needs is a good shepherd. Therefore, thou preparest. That is the shepherd preparing. That shepherd would go down through that pasture. That shepherd would investigate that grazing ground. That shepherd would make sure. He would make sure that the meal that the sheep would eat would be healthy. That's the reason why. David is saying, thou prepare it. It is the responsibility of the shepherd to make sure that the sheep gets a healthy diet. They are to shepherd the preached word from the pulpit. They are to shepherd the word that is taught from the classroom. They are to make sure that the track rack and those things out there are solid and sound. They are to make sure when invitations come in, that in certain lectureships and those types of things, before they allow their sheep or their fold to get mixed up in poisonous plants. That's what David is talking about. He takes a script out of his own life and shows how it is the responsibility of the shepherd thou preparest. Therefore, as a result, that shepherd would go down through that pasture. He would make sure that he removed all of that poisonous material. All of that poison, thou prepare it. It shows that the only source that the the sheep had was the shepherd. The shepherd is the great provider for the sheep. And David is taking the script out and saying, God is my great provider. We look to him for all of our physical needs. We look to God Almighty for all of our provisions. To understand that God is the provider is to understand that God alone, he is the source of all of our provisions. Oh, I know what you're thinking. People sometime just don't grasp that point. And they will actually cross God out as the sole provider. And you begin to hear things like that. Oh, wait a minute, preacher. I'm the one that's working. It's my job. What about my skills? What about my training? What about my talents? What about my knowledge and my education? And we'll scratch God off. Sometimes we make the mistake. We think sometimes that we are the ultimate source of our possessions, but not so. That passage shows me, thou prepare it. You and I don't have anything to do with it. It's the great shepherd. It's kind of like when we have radios and televisions. And those actors come on and that music come out of that radio. And you might say sometimes, listen to my radio. I want to tell you something, friend. You can only say that in an accommodative sense. You know why? Because the people that are making that music, there is no bands, vocal bands, in your radio. There are no singers in the car when you're listening to it. There are no actors or actresses in the living room when you turn the television on. The radio is only a point of contact to deliver the music to you. It's not the ultimate source. It's just a contact from another source delivering a signal that you pick up on. But we tend to say, that's my. I want to tell you something, that's not true, neighbor. God is the ultimate source. God Almighty, he owns everything. There is nothing nobody can say that this is mine. Not one thing. God is described as the possessor of heaven and earth, according to Genesis 14:19. Thou, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is mine. 1 Chronicles 29:11. I want to tell you something, neighbor. God owns everything. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world and they that dwell therein. Psalms 24:1. God owns everything, neighbor. And every beast of the forest is mine. And a cattle upon 1,000 hills. I know all the fowls of the mountain and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee. For the world is mine and the fullness thereof. Psalms 52:12. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, says the Lord. Haggai 2:8. For whatsoever is under the whole heaven is mine. John 41:11. In God's hands are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his. The sea is his, and he made it. And his hand formed the dry land. Psalm 95:4-5. Behold the heavens, and the heaven of heavens is the Lord our God. The earth also, and all that dwell therein. Deuteronomy 10:14. Behold, all the earth is mine. Exodus 19:5. All the land is mine. Leviticus 25:23. All the souls are mine. Ezekiel 18:4. Your body belongs to the Lord. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Children are the property of God. Psalm 127:3. And all I am, or ever will be, is a manager, a steward, always the things that God has blessed me with. You better recognize that, friend. There is not one single thing that you can say belongs to you. God is the provider. And David takes this script out and he says, thou prepare it. Look at it, friend. Thou prepare it. David understands that God alone is the source. I know there are interim steps. I know that. From other sources, I know that. But without God being the source, it'll never get to your neighbor. Without God being the source, God is the source. God the starting point of everything that you and I possess. Therefore, when we recognize that, we will be just like the shepherd. When the shepherd says, thou prepare it. When that table is set, oh yes, you'll pray and thank God for it. Oh yes, you will say grace for it. Thou prepare it. When somebody gives you something, oh yes, you will say thank you. That will be your response. At restaurants, we go to restaurants, everything is prepared for us, isn't that right? And it's so prepared for us, you even leave a tip. And if there's a porter over a certain number, the gratuity is automatically included in it. Somebody else is preparing it. And if it's appropriate to say thanks to the person that's bringing the food, if you can say thank you to the pizza man when he brings the pizza and deliver it to your front door, how much more appropriate it is to say thank you, God. Thou prepare it. I want to tell you something. That pizza man, that pizza delivery, he is not the source, is he? Oh, he's not the ultimate source. We can accept that pizza. Then we can accept what David is trying to tell us tonight. It is God that prepares the table before me. And if there is no starting point with God, then there is no setting your table. If God does not provide, then we can't eat. It's not the grocery store neighbor, it's God. We need to recognize that as people. Somebody say, well, if my wife don't cook, then I won't eat. No, if God doesn't provide, then your wife would not have anything to cook. How? Prepare it. There's the first two words. We sometimes forget the source. And the psalmist is reminding us tonight. And then what we'll do, we'll start treating these intermediaries just like the source. And you know what? These intermediaries, they will soon turn out to be God. The psalmist says, thou prepareth. God prepareth. The shepherd prepareth. Whenever the Palestinian shepherds would lead their sheep to new grazing ground that they'd never been before, the shepherd would thoroughly investigate the ground. There are some preparations that had to be made. What would he do? He would make sure that the grass is safe to eat. He would make sure that. That was his responsibility and not the sheep's responsibility. So it is when we go and go to the restaurant, our meals are prepared for us. Somebody else is preparing that table. And there are preparations to be made. The area where you sit down, clean and sanitized. You simply come to prepare to the table. Thou prepare it. You don't have to worry about drinks, napkins, cleaning, forks, knives and spoons, pots and pans, cooking, all of that preparation. Thou prepare it. The person that's doing preparing takes sole responsibility for your meal and your surroundings. Thou prepare it. The waiter prepare it. The maitre d' prepare it. The servant prepare it. The cook prepare it. So it is with God Almighty. Thou prepare it. Now watch the psalmist add two words. Thou prepare it a table. When I look at this word table from a Hebraic study, it talks about a feast. That's what it literally means, feast. Thou prepare it a feast. The shepherd prepared the table before me. Notice the next two words. Before me. While the shepherd would investigate this new grazing ground, there is his sheep standing there watching the shepherd as he go down and make sure it is safe to eat. The grass is safe to eat for the sheep. Here the sheep just coming through this long journey, the valley of the shadow of death. Hungry, yes, but they are disciplined enough to wait until the shepherd lead them to eat. Thou prepare it. The sheep are watching their leader. They're watching the shepherd prepare the table. The shepherd will also prepare a place for the sheep to eat by taking his staff. And as he goes through that pasture there, that new grazing ground. There are other enemies that was out there. And every place where the shepherd would see holes, whether it be a gopher hole or whether it be a snake hole, that shepherd would take that staff and he would thrust it down in every hole he sees. Why? Because snakes were enemies of the sheep. And as he goes through and thrusts that staff down in all of the holes that he sees, and what he would do, he would take that oil cruise, and then he'll pull some of that oil down about 3 or 4 inches in that hole, just in case, making it difficult for the snake to get out. For the sheep is out there grazing, and could easily be snake bitten. Thou preparest a table before me in the very presence of mine enemies. Notice 6 more words here. As the sheep is watching the shepherd doing all of this preparing, when all of these enemies, foxes, jackals, wild dogs, they follow livestock because they're trying to get a meal. And here the shepherd has prepared a table while all of these animals of prey and predators are looking at the sheep eat but can't get to them. Oh, it's beautiful, neighbor. The shepherd is doing it with enemies looking on. Thou prepareth the table before me. And I'm telling you tonight, God can prepare a table regardless of the circumstances, regardless of the surroundings. God is not subject to this economy, friend. God is not subject to the stock market. God is not subject to the jobless rate. He's not subject to minimum wage. God is not subject to any circumstance when it comes to preparing a table for his people. Did not God promise food? Did not he promise clothing, raiment? I can tell you right now, I can get rid of the food stamp program. Give me 5 minutes on Capitol Hill, and I can get rid of the food stamp program, neighbor. Oh, yes, I can. All these rats and roaches and bugs and cowards around here. I'll never go without food. There's too much food around here. There's no need for a food stamp program. God has already prepared a table, neighbor. You don't have to say amen. I know I'm right. God has already took care of that business. I can trust this passage here. Thou prepare it. Anybody want to refute that? Thou prepare it. Not me, but God. In the midst of bad times, God prepare it. Keep on preparing. In the midst of difficulties, he still prepares a table. The sheep are eating in the very presence of enemies. But the enemies can't get to the table. You know why? Because the sheep has a good shepherd. Our enemies are looking on. Notice with me again. 6 more words. Notice. Thou anointed my head with oil. During this time, that was a custom. Anointing oil with oriental was an oriental custom where perfume was the oil that was poured on the head of an honored guest. That's what that table there, it carries the idea. It means you are the guest of honor and not just an invited guest. When the Lord prepares us a table, we are the guest of honor. We are the guest of honor of God Almighty. Not only that, that oil cruise, this oil, it was like a repellent. It had several different uses. It was cooling. It was soothing. Something like we use bug off spray and so many other repellents today to keep the bugs off. Because all of the flies and the gnats and the bugs would be biting the sheep, flying on the sheep, all on the sheep's head, and all around the sheep's eyes. And the oil was used to put on the sheep's head. But the oil was used for something else. It was also to treat for cuts, treat for scrapes and other wounds. It was also used because of the hot, burning sun. And David says, the Lord is my shepherd. What I used to do for my sheep, that's what the Lord does for me. He anoints my head with oil. the good shepherd today. God does not allow the irritations of life, the bugs and the gnats, to attack a sheep without having the repellent. This is it right here, friend, the word of Almighty God. Whether we are living with gnats, whether we are going to school with flies, or whether we are working with mosquitoes, the word of God is the propellant. When they begin to bite and nip, that's what we have to use. David says, God would not let the irritations of life bring us down. This all was like what? Neosporin. It kills germs, and not only kills germs, it gets rid of the itch. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. And then notice what he says, four more words. My cup runneth over. Again, back to shepherd and sheep. David now have come through the valley of a shadow of death. Enemies all around him have been all around him. And yet still David says, my cup runneth over. The world rushed long, headstrong, through so many other types of immoralities and things because I've hit the lottery. That's what it means for the cup to run over. Or because I've got that great promotion. That's what it means for my cup to run over. When everything is going well, that's what it means for my cup to run over. David says, my cup. But let's keep this phrase right where David has it. And let's see what he's talking about. David says, my cup. This comes right after David says that his head need to be anointed. David says, my cup. It comes right after. When a table is being set, he still says, my cup. That table is being set in the presence of enemies. Yet David says, my cup. David just walks through the valley of the shadow of death. And the next stroke of the pen, David says, my cup. The shepherd would carry that cup. And what he would do, he would go down to a branch or stream. And he would get some water to minister to the sheep. And as he dipped that cup in that stream, he would be walking back from that stream, and the water would be flopping over that cup. Which means, I really got more than enough. The cup is overflowing. Neighbor, look at these dangerous conditions in which David's cup is overflowing. Coming through the valley of the shadow of death. In the presence of enemies. Bugs irritating them everywhere. Head needs to be anointed. And yet, David still says, my cup. You know when you go to McDonald's, you pull up to that thing, and you want number one, you want number two, or you want supersize. And somebody say all of the above. But they say, do you want a supersize? Well, supersize just simply means do you want more than the regular. And that's what God does for us, friend. God will supersize our order, even when we're walking or going through the valley of the shadow of death. It's just like taking a roll of film to get it developed. That roll of film is in a little small thimble. Very small. But when that roll of film gets into the hands of that developer, it can produce posters. Not only can it produce posters, it also can produce multiple photographs. I'm here to tell you tonight, God can multiply just like the developer can, but the film got to get into the hands of the developer. You want your blessings to multiply? Every one of God's spiritual blessings, they are only in King Jesus. That's where you find them. God can give you the overflow. He can give it to you in every situation. David says, my cup runneth over. God, and just like of old, and just like in this Psalm 23 and verse number 5, just like when Pack-a-Sacks and 7-Elevens came out, when they first came out, they wasn't selling gas. And it was actually called convenience stores. And a convenience store was there because when the big boys closed down, you needed some milk, go to the convenience store. Needed over bread, Food World and Walmart and and Piggly Wiggly and all has closed down. They have to go to a convenience store when all of the normal suppliers had gone home and went to bed. You can always depend upon the convenience stores. For the goodness of God, He's the one that's convenient. God is there for your neighbor when everybody else shuts down. God is there and He's open 24/7. David says, my cup runneth over. And David says, thou hast prepared the table before me. When enemies want to take things away, God has obligated Himself to you and me. My God shall supply. That's what Paul wrote from a Roman jail in Philippians 4:19. He says, my God shall supply all your wants. No, friend, all your needs, according to the riches and glory that they are in Christ Jesus. That's what they are. They're in Christ. Jesus Himself said in John 10:10, I come that you might have life and might have it more abundantly. Jesus says in Mark 10:30, now in this life you shall receive 100-fold, and in the world to come, eternal life. All of this here, neighbor, and heaven too. Paul said it again, writing to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:8. In this life and the life to come, we not only have God's blessings in the afterlife, but we got some help right now. But it's all in Christ Jesus. In John 10 and verse 16, Jesus says, all the sheep I have, which is not of this fold, them I also must bring. And when they come in, they're going to be one fold. It's going to be one shepherd. So many times people make the mistake thinking that the other sheep are some denomination. But the current fold in John 10 was the Jewish fold. The other sheep were the Gentiles. And we see in Ephesians 2, verses 11 to 15, wherefore remember that you being in time past, Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by hands, that at that time, not Michael Shepherd, but Paul said, ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. What a tragic condition. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For He is our peace, who has made both one, and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, thus making Himself between one new man, so making peace, and that He might reconcile, that He might make friends again, that He might reconcile both, maybe that's both Jew and Gentile, that He might reconcile both under God in one church by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. It's not going to be no more Jew and Gentile. It's going to be brothers in Christ. And that's where all spiritual blessings are, in King Jesus the Christ. And if I want those spiritual blessings and God's protection, I got to get in Christ where those spiritual blessings are. Then our neighbor to give, it shall be given unto you then. It's going to be pressed down, shaken together, running over. My cup shall men give unto your bosom. Luke 6 and verse 38. I trust, hope, and I pray that if somebody here tonight want those spiritual blessings, if you want the continuing cleansing blood of King Jesus the Christ, if you want assurance, you got to get in Christ, neighbor. To get in Christ means to get in His body. And to get in His body means to get in His church. There is not one width of difference between the body of Christ and the church of Christ. They are all one and the same. And the plan is so very, very simple. You can leave here tonight. You can go home and be a child of God. Oh, yes, you can. Just follow what Jesus says. Jesus says you have to believe the story of the cross. And if you don't believe it, you'll die in your sins. John 8:24. And verse 21, Jesus says, where I am, you can't come. Yes, you have to believe. That's one of the prerequisites. But you have to do a little bit more than that. Jesus also says that you've got to turn from everything that is contrary to God's will. And that's repentance. This is the only plan that God has given for the salvation of mankind's soul. Jesus said in Luke 13:3-5, you don't repent, you'll perish. Jesus himself says, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. Matthew 10:32. But Jesus says in verse 33, if you won't, I won't. You have to confess faith in Christ. And then it was Jesus who said, based on the story of the cross, based on the teaching of the cross, he that believed that cross, he that believed that story, and is baptized, shall be saved. Neighbor, baptism is not retroactive. It's not. You can't be baptized wrong. Can't be baptized 30 years ago and then bring that baptism over into the New Testament church. That won't work. It has to be predicated upon the right teaching, neighbor. That's exactly what I teach. It has to be predicated upon the right teaching. It has to be predicated upon the story of the cross. And then you end up in the right place. You got an opportunity to get it straight tonight. We always pause for a few brief moments just in case the Lord will come back this very evening. Get your life right with the God of heaven. And obey his plan, the only plan that he's given man for the salvation of his soul. Why won't you do it while we sing?